Good morning, Kelly.
Hello.
Did you happen to see any movies over the weekend?
Not new ones, because we dove in to Ozark season 4.
Did you finish it?
No, but we are close. We are like halfway through, and it's so intense.
So Spider-Man No Way Home is like absolutely destroying everything.
Well, yeah, because it's a masterpiece.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, though. I feel as though you're not going to fully appreciate it because, again, you are not all in the Marvel Universe and or the Spider-Man Universe because this, listen, spoiler, if you've ever seen any of the other Spider-Mans, and I'm talking before Tom Holland took the role, you will love this movie. It's perfection.
Okay. So
it perfectly blends the entire history of Spider-Man on film.
It's the sixth highest grossing movie in history.
It should be, because it's a masterpiece.
It passed up Jurassic World, The Lion King.
Yeah.
Number two on the box office, Scream, and then number three was Sing 2. And I got to be honest, I did not want to like Sing 2 when I walked into the theater.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. It's catapulted up there to one of my favorites of all time.
On Friday, but yeah. I went with, you know, my family and my brother and sister-in-law and their kids. And I did not want to like it. Like,
yes.
I did. I shouldn't say I didn't want to like it. I just went in there going, I'm not going to like this.
Right. You're just like, I'm just here because the family.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But then near the end, I got like choked up.
Yes. And I know.
I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I?
Yes.
It's a cartoon.
No, but you do. You do. It is. Yeah. It gives you all the feels. And the soundtrack is slapping.
Yeah. The soundtrack, it features a whole ton of stuff. Everything.
Everybody.
I mean, Shawn Mendes is featured a lot. Ed Sheeran.
Well, Bono is Clay Calloway.
Bono is the lead singer of the band U2. And,
yes.
And their music is featured quite a bit as well.
I think is fantastic because, like, a whole new generation is going to, like, learn to appreciate U2.
Yeah, but, I'm sitting there watching Sing 2, and I'm near the end, I'm going, oh, wait, I can't be getting choked
yes,
up, can
no,
I?
Yes, no, you're crying when the pigs are dancing together, aren't you?
I'm telling you.
Yes.
It is an interesting, I mean, like I said, didn't think I was going to love it as much, but then,
yes.
but then here I am.
It's literally one of my favorites of all time now.
Okay, so, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to here, even just this hour. Feel-good stories, you laugh, you lose, and $3 million. Vegas on 99.7 DJX. It kind of came as a shock to a lot of people. Some people were even in Vegas to see the show when they heard word that the show was canceled.
Yeah, it was that last minute.
And so one fan, Elaney, she had failed to see Adele three other times. And so she's just like, you know what? She was in Vegas see her show. It got canceled. And then she decided she was just going to go to the venue to grab some merch. And it just so happens that some of Adele's team were there. And what they had Adele on FaceTime to talk to some of the fans that were unable to see her show. And
oh, wow.
Yep, Elaney was one of them. You can kind of hear Adele in the background because someone's filming this.
Oh, I love you. I'm sorry. I love you.
All right. So that's the fan.
I feel for you. I know you're doing everything you can.
So you can kind of hear Adele on FaceTime there.
I don't know what she's saying, but
right,
I hear.
Right. She's like, no. And then some.
I know. I will do anything to see. I just want to get a glass of wine with you. Let's get drunk.
She's like, I just want to get a glass of wine with you. Let's get drunk. I mean, it's kind of intimidating when all of a sudden it is a spontaneous interview with Adele. And
it sounds like she did well with it, though. She's just like, hey, you know what? Just come down and let's get some wine.
On stage, and I'll come and see you in real life. We can have a photo together. And when I see you, you're going to give me my shirt.
I'm going to bring you Angela's shirt, yes. You're too skinny now for your old shirt.
Yeah, so she had a fun time talking with Adele, and apparently some of Adele's team were doing that with several of the fans that were kind of hanging around the venue and the merch and stuff like that. And
well,
just,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of a, I guess, a lemons into lemonade sort of situation.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of people like commenting on her Instagram video where she kind of tearfully announced all that stuff. And they were all just like, we'll go easy on you.
All right, I like that. All right, hey, coming up next, Feel Good. What are you working on, Kelly?
This is an amazing, I guess, medical kind of a situation. Oh, I'm going to call it a medical miracle.
Okay.
This woman had cancer affect her tongue, and she got a new one. She got like half of a new tongue, and you're not going to believe how they did this.
Oh, let's do it. All right, Kelly Kay, what do you got?
So this is just a medical miracle, I think. Cameron Newsom, she's 42, had half of her tongue removed because she had cancer.
Ooh.
And she was, you know, in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
This is all back in 2013. It started when she noticed white spots on her tongue and her dentist recommended a biopsy.
Right.
Found out she had stage 4 squamous cell carcinoma.
Oh.
3 grueling rounds of chemo.
Mm-hmm.
A 9.5-hour surgery replacing the infected part of her tongue with skin and muscle from her thigh.
Oh, wow.
So she said, the weirdest part of this whole thing was when I felt a rough texture on the thigh part of my tongue. I looked in the mirror. It had started growing leg hair.
What?
Yes. But, you know, she's like, small price to pay because she's cancer-free. She did have to relearn how to speak again with her new tongue.
Oh, I would imagine.
But isn't that amazing? I don't know. She didn't say if she now has to, like, shave part of her tongue.
Wow.
Or if she'd be a candidate for laser hair removal. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if you can do that on your tongue or not.
I wouldn't try just because. But, again, could you imagine? Think of how you don't even think about how much you actually use your tongue.
For sure.
To speak.
Yeah.
And yeah, just amazing. So again, medical miracle. I'm putting that in the feel-good lane.
All right.
She's got leg hair in her mouth, but that's all right.
All right.
We'll tweet it out at Ben and Kelly Show.
All right, feel good. Do them every hour. Brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling on 99.7 DJX. Like rumors in Hollywood go around on 99.7 DJX. Things like, you know, the Nick Jonas, Priyanka Chopra were rumored to be like near divorce, they were saying. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. They were nearing divorce.
Yeah,
things were on the rocks.
Well, yeah, the people were like, they noticed, I guess, that she dropped Jonas from her last name, and they were all like losing their minds over it.
Yeah, and then just a couple days ago, Nick announces via Instagram, we are overjoyed to confirm that we have welcomed a baby via surrogate. We respectfully ask for privacy during this special time as we focus on our family. Thank you so much. Heart emoji. Now,
yeah, I mean, surprise.
Yeah. I'm not saying that people haven't tried to fix relationships with a kid before, but
right.
I'm just saying, I think things are probably blown out of proportion when it comes to they're getting a divorce. And then literally days later, it's like, hey, we're having a baby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and when it's by surrogate, you know, it's easier to surprise people because, you know,
right.
She's not showing anything.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So congrats to the happy couple there. We got more on that if you want to see it, WDJX.com. So you get so many messages every single day, emails that hit your bulk folder or your spam folder. And like a lot of times, who has time to go through all those, right?
Not me.
Right. So setting the bar stories, which kind of walks the tightrope of setting the bar in the feel good. And I think you'll know at the end which side it's on.
Okay.
But if you can manage to make it through the day without almost losing a chance at $3 million because of your spam folder, you're doing okay.
Well, you said almost, so she didn't?
Laura just happened to be looking through her spam folder for an email from a friend, right?
Uh-huh.
Came across a email in her spam folder that said she'd won the lottery. Now,
oh, wow.
How many times do we get those emails? Like, that's it. Like, you've won
all the time.
Yeah, you could be a millionaire. You could win. Yes. Yeah, and it's like, okay,
and it's usually
yeah.
solicitation or promotion or something.
Yes, and in like 99.7% of the time, those are fake. But this wasn't totally random because Laura had actually purchased a Mega Millions ticket on the Michigan Lottery website for a drawing a few weeks ago.
Wow.
So she did something smart, though. When she saw this email come across, she's like, man, this just doesn't seem like it's completely fishy, but it doesn't seem like something I should click any links on. So what she did was she actually logged onto her Michigan Lottery account, and guess what? It was legit. She won $3 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you can just log onto your account and it'll be like, yeah, winner. Yay.
Yeah. So, right. Oh, right. Wow. So she went through her account with the Michigan Lottery because she had purchased the ticket online.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So like how many times? Well, and she then was like, you know what? I've added the Michigan Lottery to my safe senders list on my email. So, you know, the next time you win the lottery, that,
there you go.
That won't
go
get
spam.
Sent. Yeah, that won't get sent to spam. But see, smart. Like this still could be dangerous because how many of us are going to hear this story and be like, oh, okay, then search your spam and click on every little link that says, hey, you could be a millionaire. Right.
And then you can end up with a virus on your computer.
Right, exactly. So it's still kind of a setting the bar. But listen, Laura's $3 million richer, so she doesn't think it is.
Oh, wow. She learned a valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And but, that is, make sure that you are including the lottery in your list of contacts.
Yeah. And like every now and then go through your spam folder, I guess. Because
I guess.
there's no way I would have won because no. I would have never, ever, ever caught that email and I would have deleted
nope.
it.
Oh, man. And then what if it just passed the deadline?
I know. I know.
When she could claim it. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Then it would have been a real setting the bar. So
listen, I hate losing out on a 30% off coupon.
I get it. But if you can
this
manage
would be devastating.
To make it through the day without almost losing the chance at $3 million because of
but
your spam
didn't.
Folder. But yeah,
yeah,
you're doing okay. Man, social media is so good right now where you can do your research on a person, you know, before you go out on a date with them. It's 99.7 DJX. I mean, if I were just going to say that there is like one of the benefits of social media, because I, you know, overall, social media is a double-edged sword. It's like, you know, there's some great things on social media. There are also some awful things on social media.
Yeah.
But there is an ability to like do background checks on people, especially before you go out on dates. So this hashtag, maybe you saw it, West Elm Caleb. Started going viral on TikTok. Now, it's not like a challenge or anything like that.
It's an actual guy.
Yes, dude. Now, I tried to let the original warning about him got deleted from TikTok. So the person who, I guess, put this warning out and got a whole ton of feedback and activity from her post wound up deleting it. However, this guy had basically been doing
He was love bombing and then ghosting.
Yes. Love bombing. Kelly, can you like describe and walk through what love bombing is?
Love bombing is kind of like you're coming on really strong and you're just sending all sorts of you're really all interested and you're kind of like all in and you keep, you know, sending tons of messages, texts and seem really, really interested. And then you disappear.
So,
and apparently this guy has done this to many ladies.
So now this is out of New York City. However, this could be happening in our area too. The guy's name is Caleb and he designs furniture apparently. And so he's been doing just that. He's been matching with a bunch of women on like Hinge and all these dating apps and then is just being super affectionate. Now, I don't know if he's actually going so far as to meet with these people. But
I don't know. You can't really tell because, you know, a lot of these women are kind of going and talking on social media about this great guy. And they seem to be kind of like falling hard and fast for him. And then he disappears on them.
Yeah. And so that is one of the things that I was saying at the beginning about social media is that you can almost do a little background check on the guy that you're talking to, see if he's got social media. Now, let me ask you this. I know that you are married. You've been happily married for many, many years. But if you were to start talking to a guy online and he doesn't have a very big social media presence, is that more or less of a red flag than if he did?
See, I don't know. I tend to think that's a good thing if he doesn't have a huge presence, because then I'm just kind of thinking, well, he's just living his life. He's out there engaging in real life and not wasting a bunch of his time like trying to put an artificial life maybe out there on social media, because people put their best selves on social media, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And which can kind of lead to cover up the reality of what that person's really like. So for me, I don't know if I would think that's a huge red flag, but I know for a lot of other people that would be like the biggest red flag.
Yeah, like why isn't he on social media?
Or because why everybody is.
Why can't I find this person on social media?
But I know my sister has no social media accounts. You know, I've got a few friends that don't have any social media accounts, and I'm kind of envious because it was a simpler way to live.
Yeah, like I don't know where I would land on that spectrum. Like I feel like I enjoy social media and I would want to kind of dive in, especially on Instagram, like Instagram stalk them or go back on their TikToks and see, you know, what they're like and before you met them, kind of get a little quick history lesson on the person that you may or may not be going out to see, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I would like that, but if I didn't see anything, I would be a little bit more curious and maybe even ask, like, hey, I couldn't find you on, you know, Instagram.
Why are you trying to stalk me?
Do you have an Instagram? You know, I was like, and then see what, you know, he or she says. But
I don't know. There's so many different ways to look at it, because if he looks too perfect online, then I'd be like, this is sus.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Like, if a guy is, or a person is just looking completely perfect on social media, then that's almost a red flag too.
Yes. Gosh. So I don't know. I feel like it kind of convolutes the whole thing. It just adds another layer of something that you have to try to figure out and navigate.
All right. Well,
and dating's hard enough.
Yeah. Right. We'll tweet this article out so you can kind of read up on the West Elm Caleb at Ben and Kelly Show on our social media on Twitter. On 99.7 DJX. Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. Man, enjoyed the fire last night. Made a fire and had some s'mores and all that stuff outside. It was definitely a night for that last night. It's going to be pretty much like that again tonight and for the next few days, where it's going to be cold. It's going to be a fire outside sort of day. I don't know. Are you that rugged type, Kelly?
Rugged? I'm a s'mores type. 100%. But you know what? I'm kind of a s'mores person on like maybe 60 degrees.
So how do you do it? Do you do it over a fire, or do you do it over like a stove?
No,
a
fire pit.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't want to be like freezing on one side and then warmed on one side.
Ah, okay.
So gotcha. I like it to be kind of cool, but not cold outside for my s'mores experience.
Very specifics. All right, cool. Is there an ultimatum? Is there a line in the sand? Is she choosing a career over her marriage? It's group therapy.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So in its simplest form, you know, if you want the opinion of our listeners, you can shoot us a message at Ben and Kelly Show, and we'll just toss it out and see what people who don't really have any sort of stake in your situation have to say.
Yeah, and if you give us your phone number, we'll call you.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to keep you anonymous, but hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so thanks so much for allowing us to talk to you about your situation. Will you go ahead and explain everything that's happening?
Sure. Me and my wife, we've been together for a while, but we're going through a rough patch. And during this time, you know, she's been pouring herself more and more into her career. Mm-hmm. And, the other night she goes out for drinks with her boss, and she wound up pissing him. And she says she feels terrible about it, and I believe her.
So she admitted that to you?
Yeah, she admitted that to me. You know, it was really hard. well, it wasn't that hard for her to admit to me because she just told me. But, you know, the thing is that she feels bad, but she doesn't feel bad enough to leave her job, which to me, I think she needs to do. You know, she says she's making too much money. You know, she doesn't want to start over again with a new company, wasting 10 years of experience. And if she doesn't quit, you know, she's choosing her career over me. And then at that point, you know, aren't we likely over?
Oh, man. You're like, hey, you got to leave this job if you're making out with your boss. And she's like, no, I can't. I make too much money. And
to me, that's not excusable, man. I mean, to me, I think, I don't know, man. It feels like, you know, she's choosing her career and she's choosing her boss that she just kissed, you know, on a night out of drinks over me.
And kind of throwing everything that you guys have created away. Okay.
Away, yeah. And I don't know. To me, I'm leaning more towards the fact that our relationship just might be over, but.
Well,
crazy.
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of people already texting and chiming in. So if you want to hang out and we'll see if we can at least help guide you or help figure something out for you.
Sure.
But can you keep us posted on your situation?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Definitely.
All right. Thank you.
Kristen said, you know, if I were her and truly felt awful about the kiss, I would want to quit. I don't do awkward situations first off, and that would be cringe to be with my boss again. I also know 100% that if my husband kissed any of his coworkers, I would want him to never see them again. Now, I don't think doing anything rash immediately is smart. Don't quit immediately, but start job hunting. It's easier to find a job when you have a job.
Man, I'm so conflicted over this because I feel like by her telling him, it's almost as if she understands that she did something wrong, wants to... is trying to, I guess, I don't know. He was saying they were going through a rough patch.
Yeah.
But it didn't sound like she was saying it like, well, I kissed my boss. It was almost like a, hey, I want to let you know that this happened.
Full transparency.
Right. So to me, I'm like, man, I don't know if I would immediately throw it away because divorce is just messy, you know?
Well, yeah. Heather's saying the same thing. The fact she didn't hide it and chose to tell you means she does love you and is willing to do what it takes to work it out. Now, depending on what age she is, 10 years in a company is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
25 years at a lot of companies, you can retire with a nice package. I wouldn't want to start all over again either, but if my marriage was on the line, there would be changes for sure. Therapy is a good first step.
Yeah, let us know if you've been in this situation and how you dealt with it, because I feel like this would be important in how, you know, maybe our listener handles this situation. So 502-571-9970, Group Therapy. He is afraid that his wife, who went out, got a little tipsy, made out with her boss, she's worked at the same place for a long time, makes good money, is choosing her career because after that happened, he's like, you got to leave the job over him and is now worried, what do I do with this, you know?
Now, Patricia, she's given some tough love. She says, grow up. No, she shouldn't quit. Go to counseling. See why you think one kiss should cause a divorce. Jeez.
Okay.
Told you, tough love.
Yeah. So, Dallas, you kind of have been in this situation, maybe kind of just gone through it.
The reason why I've kind of been in a situation like that. I'm actually in a situation kind of like that now.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why, she's like, yeah, you know, I kissed my boss and, you know, that to me just went straight through me because here's what she's doing. And I think she's a little bit smarter than what everybody has given her credit for.
Okay.
She's actually holding that door open.
Like, what do you mean?
She's not woman enough to break it off. Because if you went home to tell your wife, hey, I kissed my boss, that's a wrap. That's done.
So it's almost like she's giving him the opportunity to break it off with her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because she can't do that herself for whatever reason.
Okay. I didn't think about that. Thanks for the perspective.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Roy. So what's your thought?
Well, I was in a similar situation. My wife and I both had a good job, same company, but we were located separately. So we were kind of doing a long distance thing and we were married. This gentleman is married too, right?
Yeah.
Well, very similarly, she hooked up with her boss. And the thing is, I could have gotten over that, but she prioritized her job and her occupation over our relationship. And so what I would tell our friend is this might have been a blessing in disguise because there are going to be even more critical matters than this, such as having kids and raising them cooperatively.
Mm.
So my wife and I, we just made a clean break. And I know this is very out of the ordinary, but we kind of hit the reset button, and now we're still good friends again. And this is many years ago, too. But when it came down, for me personally, the single biggest issue is just like, if we're not getting along about things like this, and it is important,
right,
what's it going to be like when we start butting heads when we both have kids together?
Gotcha.
So that would be the single biggest thing. The blessing in disguise, maybe it's good to have discovered this before you have kids, even though you're already married.
Yeah.
There has to be some critical decision-making taking place. So I hope that guy, hope everything works out for him. But if you wanted Roy's, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
I would start maneuvering myself backwards out of that relationship, even though we're married, because this isn't good. It really boils down to, like I said, priority.
All right. Thank you, Roy.
It's a really good point. And Courtney kind of said, I wouldn't be with someone who kisses her boss while married. That's disrespectful. And by kissing her boss, she potentially already messed up her career. So many places are hiring. If she's really good at what she does, I'm sure there's a market for her. If she wants to save the marriage, she would put your marriage first by finding a job, a new job in her field.
So Alexa brings up a point, like, why couldn't she go to HR and maybe she's not quitting her job, but like say, hey, I need to be separated or work in a different department than my boss, because most companies have that whole you can't fraternize with, you know, your employees sort of thing.
That's a good compromise, I think.
But
you know, if she just kind of makes sure that she's not going to be interacting with that boss anymore, then maybe, you know, they can fix both of these areas. I don't know. I think professional counseling should enter the picture.
Yeah. And I see there are a lot of people who are like, divorce.
Oh, yeah.
And
just jump right to that.
I'm kind of like, well, let's not jump there just yet. And I kind of agree with our earlier caller that maybe she is opening up the door and like saying, why did this? You're going to leave me now? Type of thing.
Right.
But,
well, which is why I think counseling can get to the bottom of that. What's the root of that kiss?
All right. Well, if you couldn't get through or you want to comment, you can. We leave the thread up on the Facebook page at Ben and Kelly Show. And so you can kind of leave your comment there as well. But hopefully, you know, he can follow back up with us, or we can follow back up with him, you know, in a little while and see how everything goes. With group therapy, the Shrine Circus is coming to Broadbent Arena February 3rd through the 6th. We've got tickets all this week at this time. So if you want to go, chance to win, 99.7 DJX. So we're going to play one of our favorite games, Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's welcome Francis to the show. Hi, Francis.
Hi.
So Francis is married, loves the color black, has blonde hair, and drives a gray Kia. Hi there.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, love it. So, little kid or drunk adult, Francis, let's explain real quick what it is. I'm going to play you several audio clips, okay? And the person is going to describe something that happened to them. Now, you're going to have to just identify whether you think it happened to them when they were a little kid, or whether it happened to them when they were a drunk adult. Okay?
Okay.
This is going to be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than maybe it sounds. But Francis, if you are emotionally prepared, we'll play, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
All righty.
I was choked and kicked by a clown at a birthday party.
Oh, gosh. Did you hear that? Choked and kicked by a clown at a birthday party. Little kid or drunk adult?
I'd say drunk adult.
Drunk adult.
I would hope so.
Drunk adult. Drunk adult. All right. What happened?
I was a little kid. This clown showed up at my friend's birthday party.
Wow. Little kid, okay.
Oh my gosh.
And he was absolutely hammered. This drunk clown ended up eating my pizza. And when I called him out, he stood up and started choking me.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that was... Okay, so you're
all. That was the last birthday party that clown did.
I know, right? That is
wow.
That was a little kid. So that is you're 0 for 1, Francis. So don't worry, you can still come back around.
Dang.
And again, these are not professional clowns. These are amateurs that you may hire. Okay.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right. So. All right, Francis. Little kid or drunk adult?
I fell off a speedboat that was going 45 miles an hour, attempting to recreate the whole I'm King of the World Leonardo DiCaprio scene from the Titanic.
Okay, so he fell off of a speedboat trying to recreate the Titanic scene. Little kid or drunk adult, Francis?
I'm going to have to say drunk adult again.
Okay, yeah. You're going with drunk adult. Let's hope. All right, let's see what happened.
I was a drunk adult when that happened.
Oh, there you go. Drunk adult. You got that one. All right. Hang on. I want to hear a little bit more of this.
My favorite movie, and I always wanted to do that on a boat, but not anymore. I've seen a chiropractor ever since that day.
Okay, yeah. Holy cow. Okay, at least he wasn't hurt too badly, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. Should we do one more, maybe?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, Kelly said yes, so Francis, she answered for you. So one more, right? Little kid or drunk adult?
I threw up in front of my crush because I was hula hooping too hard.
Okay, hula hooping too hard, threw up in front of her crush.
I'll say a kid.
Little kid.
Me too, I think. That's what I think.
I was a drunk adult.
Oh, oh my gosh. Drunk adult. All right, hang on a second. Let's hear a little bit more of this.
I was with a group of people, one of them being the man I had a major crush on. And we ended up at this beach party where someone had a hula hoop. And I started hula hooping in front of everyone, and I had way too much to drink, and I ended up throwing up right in front of my crush as he was talking to some really good-looking girl.
Oh, wow. That is embarrassing.
Well, wow, that's a perfect storm.
Well, Francis, here's the thing. You're 33% correct on these answers, which is good enough for us. So congratulations. You got yourself some tickets. You got 4 tickets to the circus, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, hang on a quick sec, all right? Hang on.
Oh, she should not tell anybody how she won the tickets.
Probably not, no. Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. We always say, you know, to let your freak flag fly on the show, you know, show yourself, your true self to people. And really, in relationships, it's about, you know, will you put up with the other person's freak flag?
You know? Exactly. It's finding someone that's perfect for you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and so I think this is probably one of those instances where she's trying to decide whether the freak flag that she just discovered is a deal breaker or if she can figure this out. Like, they're still early in the relationship, right?
Okay.
And so I think it would be curious to know, like, and to hear from others where it's like, okay, I thought this was normal. Like, I didn't think I had a freak flag until
someone points it out. Yeah,
exactly. Until someone was like, that ain't right.
Yes, ma'am. You are indeed a freak.
Right. Right. Exactly. Relationships are all about a give and a take, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, finding someone that's perfect for you. Everyone's got kind of their things, and you just got to figure out what you think you can tolerate.
So there's a story going around on TikTok about a woman who stayed overnight at her boyfriend's house for the very first time. And there was one thing in particular that she noticed. You know, they're both in their 20s, and they really haven't, you know, they don't have a whole lot of experience dating other people. But the first time she saw his bedroom, it was what he didn't have that kind of caused some concern.
What doesn't he have in the bedroom?
A bed.
I'm sorry. Back the truck up. Where does he sleep?
So this isn't a case of where he's like, I don't think he's poor to where
he can't afford
a bed.
Yeah.
He has a huge pile of clothes on the floor, which he calls his nest.
Oh, no, I'm out. Sorry. First of all, that would drive me nuts if he has clothes all over the floor all the time. Are these clean clothes? Does he sleep on his clean clothes and then get up, try to sniff around in the pile and find something to put on that day? What is happening? That guy is a psychopath. Next.
Okay, so here's where she is different than you, Kelly.
Okay.
She likes the guy. She liked the guy and went over to his place.
Uh-huh. How hot is he? Is he Ryan Reynolds?
Right. So she is hesitating. She's like, okay, this seems a lot different than what I'm used to.
It is weird.
This is a definite freak flag.
Also, so, I think most chiropractors say that's not good support for your back.
So she asked him about it and is trying to make this work. Like, to her credit, she's trying to give this a shot. And she said,
what did he say? What is his explanation for this lifestyle?
So he grew up without not a lot of money, didn't actually have a bed when he was growing up. And so he slept on the floor on a pile of clothes. And so that's what makes him feel safe and comfortable.
Well, now I feel bad.
Yeah. See, Kelly? Maybe you should stop and listen before you rush to decisions.
But you should at some point, now that he is at a point in life where he can have a bed. I feel like it's a necessity.
So her credit, so she said she tried to sleep with him in this nest of clothes, but said it was too uncomfortable. And so so she just kind of slept on the couch. And so he kind of got upset that she is questioning his nest and his nesting materials. And to bring an answer to a question that you had asked in your early tirade about this, they are clothes, yes, but he does not wear the clothes. It's more like just material to sleep on. So although they could be easily laundered, like you can't just throw a mattress in the laundry machine, he could launder those. However, he doesn't, and he just kind of lays on his nest. It's all
no. Do we have sheets that cover it?
Kelly, no, it's a nest of clothes.
Oh, no,
he like snuggles into a nest of clothes, kind of like a dog would, you know?
No, sir. You even wash dog beds occasionally.
Jeannie texts in and says, there's only one explanation. He's a vampire. Maybe. Jenna's like, so he sleeps on a rag pile. Okay.
Yes, it sounds like that's exactly what he's doing.
So I guess her question is, can this work if we have two bedrooms, one with his nest and one with a bed? Would this be kind of an okay situation?
We need some counseling to move past the childhood experience that he had that compels him to continue living that. Because, again, I did list some very practical reasons of why we need to move beyond the nest. First of all, support for the back. And that's not, he's going to end up having, like,
well, that's what she said.
Chiropractic issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's uncomfortable.
Yes, plus cleanliness. If he's not washing or laundering what he is sleeping on every day, that's not healthy.
I mean, here's the thing also. Like, I've gone into my daughter's room and peeled the sheets off their bed that I'm like, hey, once a year, we got to at least try to wash your sheets, you know?
Year?
And
I think the rule typically is like once a week,
well,
sir.
Right. No, I know. And so, and it's like, I'm not going to just wash their sheets. They're old enough. They can do it themselves. But, to me, it's what freak flags are you willing to accept to keep the relationship alive?
Well, he also needs to be willing to try to compromise and realize that this is highly unusual and also just not a healthy way for him to conduct his life. That's the bigger thing. Is he willing to try to break himself of the nest?
So what I want to know is, what did you think about yourself was completely normal?
Come on now. He knew the nest wasn't normal, right? He knew that, right? He knew it. He did.
I mean, maybe in the deep recesses of his brain, he was like, eh, maybe this is a little bit different. But maybe he didn't think it was like a huge thing. But what did you think was completely normal until someone, a new boyfriend or a girlfriend was like, that ain't right.
You know what? I feel as though I may be still living in La La Land because no one's pointed anything out to me.
Okay.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe I am. Maybe they're just too afraid to say anything. Like, we don't want to hurt her.
Maybe they've seen your temper and they're like, well, nope, we're just going to let this go. What I really want. All right. So what did you find out wasn't actually normal? It's 99.7 DJX. So this woman we were talking about went over to her new boyfriend's house for the very first time, his apartment, and walked into his bedroom, noticed there wasn't a bed. It was just a nest of clothes that he slept on.
that he never washes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things. I get, like, the fact that he did this as a child because I didn't have much, and I understand that. However, we need to now move beyond that because we're in a better situation, and it's just healthier and better for your body. Support.
So what did you think was normal until maybe your new boyfriend or girlfriend or someone pointed out that, nope, it's not? Got this from Dan. People apparently start the shower before they get into it. Every morning until a couple years ago, I would just stand there and take the first burst of cold water until it warmed up.
Why? That's so cruel and painful.
And
I would never do that.
And it wasn't until I started dating a girl who soon showered me the error of my ways.
Showered me the error of my ways. Gotcha. Got it. So you turn it. So now he's just like, OMG. Never thought to let it heat up first before I step in?
Right.
What a new life. That opened up a whole new life for him.
Nan wrote, I thought bananas were spicy. My mouth always burned after eating them. After 27 years, I found out that bananas are not spicy, and I'm actually just allergic to them.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's...
Never heard of that.
This is my favorite. I was raised by my mom and two older sisters.
Uh-huh.
So whenever they showered, they put the towel around their whole body.
Uh-huh.
Underneath their armpits and on down. So naturally, I did too.
Oh, but as a boy, you don't need to?
It never occurred to me to put it just around my waist like I had boobs to hide.
That's fantastic. I love it. But, I mean, how else are you supposed to know? If that's all I grew up with, that's the example he saw.
Right. I know.
I love that.
I feel like I relate a little bit to that just because, you know, my mom and sisters were like my family growing up, and there were several things where I was just like, all right, well, yeah, I guess that.
Okay, so that's how that's done.
Okay, so I guess that's how that's done. So anyways, all right, that was some fun there. Hey, on the way here, coming up next, you know, there is nothing about this show that doesn't scream education, right?
This is so much education. It might not be good or relevant.
No, it
or
is.
Necessary.
No, it's good, relevant, and necessary. Kelly, you're wrong on all three accounts. So, stupid fact of the day on the way next. You always come to the show, and we appreciate whenever you do, for, you know, music, laughs. But then, every now and then, you get knowledge.
Okay.
We like to highlight.
Some of this knowledge you share, some you don't.
We like to highlight that sometimes with our stupid fact of the day.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, we don't do this every single day because sometimes there aren't facts that are stupid enough to make the show.
Exactly. That's the key. It's got to be stupid enough. Keyword stupid.
So, Kelly, are you ready for our stupid fact of the day?
I'm ready.
There are approximately 96 bags of poop, pee, and vomit on the moon.
Let me marinate just a sec. How in the world do we know this? Do we have satellites that are taking pictures, and did they count?
Well, astronauts from the Apollo missions are the ones that are leaving them there.
Okay.
To reduce the weight of their shuttles so they'd be able to bring back other things like moon rocks and core samples and things like that.
So the moon has become a bit of a landfill, is what you're telling me.
Well, at least in parts.
Gotcha. So. Is there like a certain crater where they kind of leave that, like, you know what, let this be the poo crater? We're just going to put all that right there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe that could be a stupid fact for another day.
Maybe. Absolutely.
But yes,
you know what? The moon was brilliant this weekend. I was looking at it, and now I might look a little differently through the telescope.
There are approximately 96 bags of poop, pee, and barf.
That's great.
On the moon.
Mom, why are you looking at the telescope so much?
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, I'm looking for the pee and the poop bags on the moon.
I'm counting. A 99.7 DJX. Feel good stories. Do this every hour. Now, Kelly, this has a Wheel of Fortune tie into it.
It does. Maybe you missed it a couple of weeks ago.
I
know I did.
I did, yes.
I'm only hearing about it now because of what Audi did. So, Charlene Rubush, she actually correctly solved the puzzle, but she had too long of a pause in the middle, So Pat Zajac is all like, sorry, you missed out on the Audi Q3.
Choosing the right card. Choosing the right... word.
You know, this one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word word, but... as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous. We'll allow for a little pause, but not 4 or 5 seconds. I'm sorry, did a good job in getting it, but we can't give you the prize.
No, no.
No, Pat Zajac, that was the wrong answer. Listen, I feel like she beat the buzzer, right? And she got it right on the end of the music sting. To me, that got it. And, well, Audi thought the same thing. So they decided to reach out and ask their fan base to help track her down. They found Charlene, gave her the Q3.
Oh, there you go.
How cool is that? She got the car after all. I mean, Audi was like, listen, we see an opportunity.
Yeah.
We're gonna pounce on that.
And
I think they did. They made the right call.
Yeah, for sure. I think Audi would have been not very smart if they would have been like, well, sucks.
It sucks to suck.
It sucks to suck. Sorry.
But I mean, like so many people in their audience, a lot of fans of the show were like, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And so there you go. You can see it up on the website, WDJX.com.
And you know what? I mean, like to Pat Sajak's credit, he's been doing it for 40 years and they have all these rules in place. So I don't know.
But she beat the buzzer.
I know she did. I knew. I'm just saying, you know.
I would have given it to her.
Maybe that wasn't his call. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't his call. Maybe right beforehand, the producers were like, listen, we're kind of in a pinch here. We're going to need that Audi to last us tomorrow, too.
We need to like, carry that over.
We need to carry that sucker over. So you're going to have to do what you can, okay? Do what you can, Sajac. All right.
I don't think the mob runs Wheel of Fortune, but it's fun to...
speculate. All right. Well, there you go. That's your feel good.
Here's what's coming up with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
Listen, if you're sitting there contemplating how to scam Granny out of $8,000, think again, because this is a setting the bar story on the way.
Also, shame on you.
Well, listen, we're not going to throw shame at you just yet because you haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
But
gotcha.
But if you're
thinking about that.
Right, exactly. If you're thinking about it, listen to this story first.
Okay.
Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. Setting the bar stories are always stories of like that have morals to them, you know?
Right. Like, don't do that. Or we hope it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. So if you're within the sound of my voice and you're thinking about robbing Granny, duping her out of $8,000, think again.
Wow.
So,
I mean, that sentence shouldn't need a story to back it up, but here we go.
Here we go. If you can manage to make it through the day without trying to scam Granny out of $8,000 saying you're her long-lost grandson, you're doing okay.
That's despicable.
Yep. Guy tried to scam 73-year-old Gene out of $8,000 claiming to be her grandson on the phone. Did it work? From ABC7.
Didn't work out the right way for the bad guys. The woman from Seaford became suspicious when she received a call from a man claiming to be her grandson. He said he was in jail. Then she got a second call from a fake lawyer asking for $8,000.
Yeah, so first she gets the call from the guy that says, hey, I'm your grandson. You haven't heard from me in a while because I've been in jail.
Wow, he really was shooting for the stars with that amount of money. Like, a lot of times they start lower because it's a little bit more manageable for people to say yes.
And then no one knows if he called back as the lawyer or if he had one of his friends call back as a lawyer, but then called back to claim that, well, I'm the lawyer and yep, we're going to need $8,000
for her grandson's bail. None of this was true. She then got on the horn to police. And when a man came to her home to pick up the money, she handed over an empty envelope. And
yeah, the envelope contained paper towels in it. So she handed them an envelope stuffed with paper towels. And then once he walked away with it, then cops nabbed him. And
good for you, Gene. Look at the genius of Gene.
Gene rolling in going, you know what? You ain't going to get $8,000 out of me.
I'm going to make this a sting operation.
That's exactly what she did.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That is great. Because you know what? This exact scenario happened to my grandma years ago. Somebody called posing as her grandson and wanted, I think it was like $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she was going to give it had my uncle not stepped in.
Yeah, don't fall for these
these,
you know, scams, right?
So and that happens so much.
So
unfortunately.
Good for Jean. This is a setting the bar story to any prospective scammers who are thinking about trying to scam $8,000 out of granny. Don't do it.
There's a special level in you know where for people like that.
Mm-hmm. So again, setting the bar, if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to scam granny out of $8,000 saying you're her grandson, you're doing okay.
Jean, shut it down.
That's right.
Jean.
That's right, she did. 99.7 DJX. 99.7 DJX. And Kelly, I don't think you probably watched any football over the weekend, but my gosh.
I did against my will.
There were some fantastic games. Bengals beating the Titans on a listen, three of the four games were decided at a last second field goal.
Very exciting stuff. I saw the end of the Bucks game.
Yeah, so
I got to be honest, I got emotionally invested in like the last minute. I was I was rooting for Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Well, if you, like that's the time that you should have been watching any of these games. As you said, the game that you were talking about, it flip-flopped and it almost looked like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to pull off yet another like a Super Bowl comeback from behind, that famous Saint or the Patriots versus the Atlanta versus Atlanta, you know, sort of comeback, but they didn't. The Buccaneers ended up losing to the Los Angeles Rams 30-27 on a last second field goal. The 49ers beat the Packers, and which could very well be Aaron Rodgers' last football game in a last second field goal, 13-10. The Bengals beat the Titans 19-16 on a last second field goal. I mean, it was insane. And then the Bills and the Chiefs, that ended up going into overtime, but the score changed in the last 2 minutes of the game like four times. It was absolutely insane. The Bills ended up losing to the Chiefs 42-36 in overtime.
Okay, so do we know the Super Bowl? Who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Okay, so no, we don't know yet. We're one game away.
Oh.
We're one game away. So next weekend, the Bengals are going to take on the Chiefs, and the 49ers are going to take on the Rams. And the winners of those two games will decide the Super Bowl on February 13th.
See, this is why I was rooting for, like, Tom Brady and the Bucks, though, because of that story where, you know, the kid that beat brain cancer, like, held up the sign and, like, Tom Brady, help me beat brain cancer, and he gave him the hat, and then he surprised him and gave him tickets to the Super Bowl, and he's like, I hope I get to see you there, and now he doesn't get to see him there.
Yeah, but he still gets to go to the Super Bowl.
He does, but he doesn't get to, because, you know, Tom Brady gave him the tickets, and now Tom Brady's not going to be there, and Tom Brady helped him beat brain cancer, so that's why I wanted Tom Brady there.
And interesting note, L.A., if they advance to the Super Bowl, they would be playing in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. So
that feels like an advantage.
Yep. So there you go. Sports. As you know, we are the sports authority. And sports 24/7, 365. That's what we bleed here on the Ben and Kelly Show. all right. So that'll do it for us. If you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast, audio on demand right there at WDGX.com. Listen back to the group therapy because I think we gave him the right advice, but I am not sure.
Well, we landed, I think, on get some counseling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that landed on divorce. Just get divorced, like throw in the towel. So there is a lot of division, I think, in the comments on Facebook. We, I think, said, well, all right, let's let a professional step in and help you guys try to navigate this and see if there's some sort of compromise, like maybe her working in a different department, not working with that boss anymore, but still keeping the job, that kind of thing. So you can hear the entire saga up on the podcast at Ben and Kelly Show.
Yep, WDJX.com. Click on listen there. All right, guys, have a good one. More tickets for the circus to win tomorrow at 8.